Berserker's Planet by Fred Saberhagen. 1. The dead man's voice was coming live and clear over the ship's radio into the Orion's lounge, and the six people gathered there, the only people alive within several hundred light-years, were listening attentively for the moment, some of them only because Oscar Schoenberg, who owned Orion and was driving her on this trip, had indicated that he wanted to listen. Carlos Suomi, who was ready to stand up to Schoenberg and expected to have a serious argument with him one of these days, was in this instance in perfect agreement with him. Athena Poulsen, the independent one of the three women, had made no objection. Celeste Servetus, perhaps the least independent, had made a few, but they meant nothing. Gustavus de la Tour and Barbara Hurtado had never, in Suomi's experience, objected to any decision made by Schoenberg. The dead man's voice to which they listened was not recorded, only mummified by the approximately 500 years of space-time that stretched between Hunter's system, where the radio signal had been generated, and Orion's present position in intergalactic space about 1,100 light-years, or 5.5 weeks by ship from Earth. It was the voice of Johann Carlson, who about 500 standard years ago had led a battle fleet to Hunter's system to skirmish there with a berserker fleet and drive them off. That was some time after he had smashed the main berserker power and permanently crippled their offensive capabilities at the dark nebula called the Stone Place. Most of the bulkhead space in the lounge was occupied by viewscreens, and when, as now, they were adjusted for the purpose, the screens brought in the stars with awesome realism. Suomi was looking in the proper direction on the screen, but from this distance of 500 light-years it was barely possible without using telescopic magnification to pick out Hunter's sun, let alone to see the comparatively minor flares of the space battle Carlson had been fighting when he spoke the words now coming into the space yacht's lounge for Schoenberg to brood over and Suomi to record. Briefly, the two men looked somewhat alike, though Suomi was smaller, probably much younger, and had a rather boyish face.
"How can you be sure that's Carlson's voice?"
Gus de la Tour, a lean and dark and somehow dangerous-looking man, asked now. He and Schoenberg were sitting in soft, massive chairs facing each other across the small diameters of the lounge. The other four had positioned their similar chairs so that the group made an approximate circle.
I've heard it before.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?